So the crowd was coming down the mountain like a river, down the stately slope of the Mount of Olives, shouting for joy and making an incredible racket. There was a multitude of them, that much was clear, even from the great distance of the mighty walls of Jerusalem. Perhaps there were hundreds, perhaps many hundreds, but at the very center of it all was one man. Every eye looked at him, every voice shouted for him, every hand was raised in praise of him. He had a noble bearing about him. He alone rode on a mount, and he seemed a person who knew his own great worth. And the adoring multitude of his followers kept spreading their cloaks on the road in front of him. They would take off their cloaks and spread them on the road before where he was walking, so that not even the hooves of his steed would suffer the indignity of touching dirt. So was this an aristocrat from one of the old tribes of Israel, or was this a long-forgotten prince of the line of David, or was this a warrior king set to lead the people of Israel back to glory again? Word spread fast through Jerusalem that someone was coming, someone important, someone new. And the people of Jerusalem flocked to the gates to see who was at the head of this great procession. But as this great multitude came nearer to the gates of Jerusalem, what had merely been an indistinct mass of humanity, even viewed from afar, started to come into focus. You could start to pick out individuals from the crowd, and it became clear that this was no gathering of the aristocracy. No, this was a mob of the dregs of humanity, flotsam and jetsam, storm-tossed by the seas of life. There was one wearing leper's rags, although her skin showed no sign of the disease. And there was another whose sunburned face and rough way of speaking betrayed that he was merely a day laborer. And there was another who just a week ago had been playing at being blind, begging on the Jericho road. And there was a woman whose youth seemed prematurely faded by an unforgiving profession. And the man himself, he was riding no royal steed, that much is for certain. It looked as if they had stolen some flea-bag farmyard workhorse. And he sat atop this poor, scrawny animal that did not look as if it was used to being ridden at all. So that's the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem at the head of a motley crew. And if this was supposed to be Jesus' big entrance, well, he blew it. He blew it. You have to understand, Jerusalem was a town that had a high bar for big entrances. Jerusalem had seen magnificent King David, stripped down to his skin, dancing through the streets because he had recaptured the Ark of the Covenant. And Jerusalem had seen King Josiah tear down all of the foreign idols, Baal and Molech and Nehushtan, and burn them all in one great bonfire of reformation. And Jerusalem, too, had seen the treasures of the temple torn down and hacked apart and carried through the streets by Rome's invincible legions marching lockstep beneath Caesar's golden eagles. By almost any standard, and certainly by Jerusalem standards, Jesus' big entrance was a pretty sad affair. He had no army, and his entourage was made up of the poor and the pitiable, the witless and wandering, the broken down and the broken. He had ladies of the night as his ladies-in-waiting, and he had illiterate fishermen as his most learned advisors. But the most remarkable thing happened. The most remarkable thing happened there at the gates of Jerusalem, and that was that this sorry little parade was a spectacular success. The people were spellbound. The people flocked to him. They loved this man. They were seized by a mad and impossible hope. They thought, this is a king for us, an impoverished king who raises up leaders from among the poor. Here was an unbiased king who listened to the voices of women and heard their wisdom. Here was a healer king who saw the wretchedness of lepers and the blind and knew it to be more than merely a cautionary tale. Perched atop that scrawny colt, hooving its way gingerly across the dirty cloaks and palm branches spread hastily across the dirt road, there, in the muck and mire of life, Jesus held court for the first time in the kingdom of God. And if it sounds like foolishness, when you come face to face with the kingdom of God, even a dead stone cannot help but shout out for joy. But you knew there had to be a but, right? But if that is what the kingdom of God is like, if Jesus has for his courtiers those who know what it means to walk a long way down the wrong road, if imperfection is part of the job description for those who have a share in Jesus' reign, well, that means that I am all out of excuses for why I can't be a part of the kingdom of God. My failings as a man don't excuse me from following Jesus. My faithless doubts and fears don't excuse me from trying to be a disciple. Now, maybe you're someone who is well aware that you're not perfect, perhaps too acutely aware. I can't be the only one in here who is not perfect this morning. Maybe you're someone who is carrying around some shame, some doubt, some loneliness that you think makes you unworthy, or at least unlikely, of being a follower of Jesus. Perhaps when you pray, you feel like a hypocrite, because how could God love someone who feels so unlovely in themselves? Now, if you're a person who's being held back from following Jesus because you think you're not worthy, I've got news. Being imperfect doesn't disqualify you from following Jesus, nor do your flaws excuse you from living the life that God is dreaming for you. You see, we're all caught up in this great crowd of people just like us, storm-tossed, flotsam and jetsam, each with our own wrinkles, our own scars, our own secret places that might seem to make us poor choices for Jesus' grand royal entourage. But don't you see? Don't you see that the procession of the kingdom of God has already begun and the fanfare is already swelling with voices of people just like you and me? Jesus is coming down the road and the shouts are ringing out and the ground is becoming covered, simply covered, with people's worries and failures and private shames. People all around are ripping their inadequacies from around their shoulders and spreading them on the ground. People are ripping their shame from around their shoulders and spreading them before the king. Jesus' path is covered in debt collectors' notices that say a person is worth less than nothing. And Jesus' path is littered with empty cases of liquor stealing life drop by drop. And Jesus' path is littered with pink slips and eviction notices and divorce papers so thick there's not a spot of ground to walk on. Jesus is trampling it down into the dirt. Jesus is taking our inadequacies and making them into a pathway, a path to healing and redemption, a path that is headed straight into Jerusalem, straight into the holy city, straight into the promised land. And friends, won't you walk with him?